The following is paid for by the Coalition for a Better Hollywood. For decades, Big Movie has had Hollywood studios in their back pocket. They spend millions to get you to spend billions on movies that are nothing more than sequels, reboots, remakes, reimaginings, Oscar cliche and January releases. Big movie lobbyists have all but ensured original film ideas are ignored, forgotten, or maybe not even real. Are they feature films? Are they quality flicks? Are they real motion pictures? Your soon-to-be, if not already favorite movie podcast stands with the little movies. Help put an end to Big Movie's cinematic censorship and listen to the pop-up film cast every Tuesday wherever honest hard-working podcasts can be found. We are the Pop-Up Film Cast, a proud member of the Podfix Network, and we support this message.
Before we start, Dad, I just wanted to give a shout-out, because we recently passed the Trans Day of Visibility, and...
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Is there a problem?
Yeah, there's a problem. I had to hear about it all that day last week and a couple days surrounding it. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody wants me to go back and revisit these terrible Michael Bay movies.
Dad,
I didn't like them the first time around. It's sensory overload. And then they make this Bumblebee movie. Is that what we're supposed to be watching too? Because I didn't even like the first ones. Shia LaBeouf was not remedied by Mark Wahlberg. It's not better casting. And what the hell is John Turturro doing in these movies?
Dad.
I don't want them to be visible to me anymore.
It's not Transformers Day.
Wait, what?
It's the day of visibility for transgender people.
Wait.
No one is celebrating the Michael Bay movies.
The transgender people?
Yes.
Not the Transformers?
No Transformers.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm all for that. Yeah. Go ahead and shout that out. Hello and welcome to The Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude. I am Phil Rude. I'm the dad.
I'm Austin Rude and I'm the son. Every week we watch a movie and then we get on the mic to talk about it.
We do indeed. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Are you up to anything this week?
Outside of work, I've been trying to get caught up on episode art. I'm a couple weeks behind getting the YouTube videos posted.
Okay.
But I'm actually behind on a lot of stuff, but while I've been working this week, I have managed to watch a few things. I've watched more movies in this week than I have in a long time.
Well, that's productive in a way.
In a way, it's a lot of stuff that I've kind of wanted to check out, and so some of the prelim drawings I've been able to do. I watched my cousin Ben has a new movie coming out later this year.
Really? That he made.
He wrote and directed. And it's called Movers Ultimate. He sent me a rough cut of it probably a month or two ago. And I finally made some time to sit down and watch it. It's a pretty sweet little project. It's a cool comedy that he's got coming out, really different from his kind of darker
I saw his last work.
Don't Run. Was, yep.
Right. Wait, was that the cop one? Or was there one before that?
No. Maximum Coppage was a... he and his producing partner were trying to get that funded, and they had like a short...
Like a pilot?
Like a proof of concept kind of thing that they were pitching. It's really, really good. I really wish... but Maximum Coppage actually shows up in Don't Run, Ben's first feature. It's the movie that the kid is watching throughout
that's
it.
Cool.
There's just like little scenes. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And I think we're going to try and talk to Ben when that movie is coming out and just talk to him about making it and stuff like that.
I'd love to.
And then I watched an old Humphrey Bogart movie that's on HBO Max right now. It's called The Maltese Falcon. It's an old film noir detective movie. Really, really good. I watched it and almost immediately I was like, I should have saved this for the show. Like, and we may circle around back to it.
You can watch a movie twice.
For sure. But I just, you know, but I was also like happy to watch a movie and not have to do a book report on it and just sort of like enjoy watching this old movie, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, actually super great detective movie. Some really good performances in it. A great mystery story. And also it's one of those movies that's old enough that it's still like, it's quaint and funny in a way. Like certain parts of it are, they just come off as a little bit silly. Not MST3K, not B-movie silly where you would sit there and tear it apart, but just something that you just...
But still kind of cheesy.
You just kind of have to laugh at it a little bit and just go, okay. But yeah, really, really a cool movie. I can't recommend enough. If you like old black and white film noir, The Maltese Falcon is a classic. And
it was such a cool name.
Yeah, yeah. It's got this whole... it is about... just a quick rundown. It's about people looking for this bird from Malta that has sort of... It's an artifact that has been lost to time. You know, this little sculpture that's supposed to be priceless. And it's all these people looking for it.
So that's kind of like the driving force.
Yeah, there's like a murder that kicks off the search for this thing. And it's a movie I saw when I was really young. And I couldn't follow it. I don't remember anything about it. So I was really happy to watch it now. And really appreciate it. So it's a great great movie that I really had a good time with.
That's cool.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I did watch one movie this week. Okay. I watched Zathura.
Ah.
This was in anticipation for me showing up on David and Nick's Hit Me One More Time podcast.
David Lou Zader's show, yeah.
That's right.
How did it go? Did you have fun?
Yeah, a lot of fun. The premise, if you don't know, is that they take something you have nostalgia for, you bring it to them, and as a group, you kind of watch it, you go over it, and then you see, is this actually good, or is it something that you just have a strong attachment to? And does that matter?
It's a super fun show. I've been on it a couple of times, and I'm glad you got it. Don't spoil where you guys came out on it.
Yeah, It should be coming out the same week as this episode.
Oh, cool. So, check your podcast feeds for Hit Me One More Time, for
this
sure.
This week or next week. Yeah. I don't know where the schedule is.
It'll be... it should come out like the day after this episode comes out.
Awesome.
So...
Okay, please check that out, because I think we had a really cool discussion.
Zathura is a movie I haven't seen since you guys were little and you used to watch it.
I was obsessed with it.
You guys watch it a lot.
I liked it more than Jumanji, which is
Jumanji.
Funny.
Yeah,
it's,
like it,
yeah.
The thing I remember most about Zathura is that Tim Robbins did like a lot of press for it. He was like on all these radio shows that I was listening to. And
who's
like,
Tim Robbins?
He plays the dad. He's like barely in the movie, but he's like also the biggest name in the movie. So he had to do all the press for it.
Well, this movie is how I was introduced.
Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard.
Right?
Yeah. That's how I was introduced to him. And then he's in Parenthood and all that other stuff.
Yeah, it's before all of that. So
yeah.
Yeah, really cool. I'm really looking forward to...
So that was exciting. And then on my downtime this week, I actually discovered a new show. Well, it was one I knew existed, but I hadn't really like touched it. It's called Good Girls. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it. And I've seen like parts of a couple episodes.
Okay. It's a drama comedy.
It's like a crime.
Yeah. Three moms, they rob a grocery store and then they get involved. But, like, really good characters. The actresses are great.
Christina Hendricks was the reason I was really...
Who? Is that the blonde one?
I think she's the main one. I don't know if she's blonde in the show or not. She was on Mad Men.
I know who you're talking... She's the one actress that I actually don't know what she's from.
Yeah, she...
Because the other two I know... There's one of them is from Parks and Rec, and she's hilarious. And then the other one, she's from Parenthood, but she played the daughter in Parenthood. And now she's playing a mother, but, like, almost the same character.
That's Mae Whitman from Avatar.
That's right, yeah.
She's she plays Katara, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And,
so it's always fun to see her, and...
Yeah, there's like, a good cast to it, which... I remember it caught my eye when it came out. I'm like, oh, Christina Hendricks is in something. I don't watch a lot of network TV.
Right. I found it on Netflix. It's definitely a show aimed for middle-aged women.
Yeah.
But I love it. The drama is fun, and it's a good show to watch.
Yeah. It's a, it reminds me tonally of, like, Weeds.
Did
you ever watch Weeds?
That's the reason I didn't watch it, because I watched the pilot for Weeds and I was like, this show sucks.
Weeds does suck.
And then, and then so I stayed away from all of the ads for this show, and now they have up to 3 seasons.
It's been on longer than I had anticipated it being on.
I would compare it to, like, Dead to Me. Do you know that Netflix show?
I do. I've seen the first season. I really like it. Yeah, I just haven't.
It's got drama, comedy, yeah, right, and, feminism, so yeah, like, it's got all of those things. It's
sort of like a suburban white mom empowerment show, kind of.
This is a like vicariously living through badass women.
Right,
they go to PTA, but they also sell drugs. See, so it's fun.
Okay. Now, do you understand my mob movie thing where I say you can live vicariously through these people? It doesn't mean that you necessarily want to be these people.
Oh my god. What does it say about me that I only like it when it's about middle class white people?
It means that you can probably identify with a suburban lifestyle. And the those shows also have to do with like the boredom of living in suburbia.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's kind out. Of yeah. like breaking down those stereotypes. And also like, I don't know, they keep it morally ambiguous. It's like, yes, they're robbing people, but they're also trying to raise money for this dying child. So it's like...
Well, that is, in a sense, I think what a good mob or crime movie or show can do. Not necessarily morally ambiguous. You never think that Walter White is doing something good. But if they can show you enough of his humanity... that you can kind of even stretch yourself to see where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm. I like it when they really push that sometimes. Yeah.
And I think a mob movie, a traditional mob movie, really does that, where someone like Tom Hanks in Road to Perdition, you know?
Yeah.
He's just a straight up murderer. Like, that's all he is. And he doesn't deny that that's what he is. But he's also trying to... He also loves his family. You know, like, and they show that. And that's where connections are for those, as opposed to something that is just like, oh, here, we're just going to showcase a monster. Something like Scarface, the Al Pacino movie, Scarface, which is beloved. Everybody, like, that's their go-to mob movie. I think Scarface is the most overrated movie of all time. And I think Tony Montana is, like, not a character you should click with at all. There's nothing redeeming about that character at all.
Right.
Like, you know, he's just a straight up
mountains of cocaine. Yes,
he's just
movie.
A straight up monster through the whole thing. He's a greed monster. And I think that's the difference for me.
Well, there's an audience for it somewhere.
There is. And I think 3 seasons of Good Girls proves that, you know what I mean? Like that people are watching it and people are probably the Netflix numbers are pretty good for it, too.
Because it showed up because it was one of those ones that was trending.
Yeah.
So I tapped into it.
Getting a lot of play. Well, cool. Maybe I will eventually look into that.
I don't know. You might like it. I feel like it's a little generic for you. Okay. I don't know.
Well, that's a lot of why I don't watch network TV very much. Because even when a show has a good idea sometimes, it's just kind of presented I think network TV, they want the biggest audience, so they tend to trim a lot of the rough edges off. They're like, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to take things too far.
We got to get from the most groups as possible.
They kind of try to shoot down the middle, and sometimes it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, usually not quite as
daring.
It doesn't quite push an edge as far as like some other shows do.
Yeah. But, I still think it's a good one.
But I think that's great. I think it's cool. But what else do we watch this week?
Well, we watched this episode.
This was your pick, right?
Yeah. This week I subjected us to the 2019 Netflix original called Io. This is a philosophical science fiction movie, and it follows Sam Walden and Micah, as they try to make their way to the last ship leaving an apocalyptic Earth behind. This movie stars Margaret Qualley and Anthony Mackie, along with Tom Payne as the voice of Elon, and it's written by Clay Jeter, Charles Spinoe, Will Basanta, and it was directed by Jonathan Helpert. So those are the people responsible for this movie. My dad may want to take up those names for some sort of hit list.
Well, I was really excited that Jonathan Helpert is doing some interesting things since leaving Dunder Mifflin, but you know, then I saw this movie. I'm like, he may want to go back to paper sales.
That's one of Jim's brothers, Jim's brothers that bullies Pam. Yeah. Okay, so first off, I want to point out the most obvious thing, which is that
this movie's not good.
It's not a great movie. Is it a good movie? That's the question I wanted to figure out.
No, it's not.
That can be your answer, but...
Okay, we'll see you next time. Just play. Go.
I want to contain the negativity, so like, I want to lead the discussion in talking about what this movie aimed for and the concepts that it's trying to introduce, because some of them are really good, and I think what this movie does good, it does great, and then we can talk crap about it, because I hate a lot of things about this movie too, and it sucks because it's one of those things where I see the potential in this movie, and I want it to be so much better than it is, but they just missed the mark. And so I kind of look crazy when I go, hey, this is a good movie, kind of.
Well, your attitude about this movie makes me curious as to why you chose it, because you don't seem to enjoy this movie very much either. I really expected, I expected you to... not be mad at me, but when this movie was over and my initial, the Netflix thing came up and said, you can also watch Saving Private Ryan. And I go, oh, look, it's a less depressing movie than this, you know, and I expected you to snark back at me and defend this movie because you'd seen it before and you chose to watch it again. And you'd seen it before and you wanted to share it with me. So I really thought that you saw more redeeming things in this movie. And then to hear you talk about it, you're like, no, you're right. It's not very good. And it's like, why did you choose to watch?
See,
and I'm not, I know you have your reasons for it. And that's what I'm getting to. I'm not bagging on you for choosing it. I want to know, like, what nuggets in this movie made you want to revisit it? Even on your own, just to watch it again.
This is almost therapy, because I watched this movie right when it came out. Like, I had been waiting for it. I saw the trailer. I was ready for this movie. And then I saw it, and parts of it, which we will get into, frustrated me so much that I was like, I need to make Dad watch this so that I can rant
about my dad, and I'm going to get back at him for grounding me when I was 13.
I needed you to understand what I did not like so that I could vent about it. But then time went on and I forgot about it. And now I wanted to come back to it and see if maybe I had just had this like assumption as I watched the movie And then when the movie went in a different direction, you know how that can sometimes like block you and be like, this is a bad movie, when really it's just not the movie you were writing in your head.
Right.
So I wanted to see that, and no, it's just not great.
Did this movie subvert your expectations in any way, though, the first time through? Because I found this movie to be, I could have written it 30 seconds ahead of everything that happened in this movie.
Wow.
I found this movie insanely formulaic and predictable.
It's really the relationship between the two main characters. Because I see, I get that the character Sam is growing up and, like, the story is kind of about her. But with Mika, right?
Micah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
When I read it, it's a different name.
Just like I-O, Micah.
Micah.
Use your words.
I saw him as a stand-in father figure. That's where I thought this movie was going. And then it turned into a romance, and a bad one at that. And I was just like so off put by it. I was like, there's got to be another layer to this. And then it just never came. But I still think the message about science and humanity in this movie is really good.
Sure. I mean, there's themes to a movie, and those themes can be solid, and but that they also don't make a movie good. You can't build a movie just on theme, and I don't know. Like there is a,
but do you think they did a bad job of building it into the, like, I think the like fixation on the art museum is like brilliant. Like, I thought that was a great way to tie in, like, mythology and how she's sort of examining humanity's role in the planet and, like, what is next. Because she's trying to decide to stay on Earth or to leave with the rest of humanity to find a new home.
Right. Yeah, no, I get what she's doing.
Right.
I feel like the museum stuff, it felt forced. I feel like there was maybe a draft of this where that wasn't a part of it. I don't know. I'm speculating. But this is what it feels like. Like there was a draft of this movie where that was not written in. There was no aspect of that. And then they were like, well, there has to be some thing she wants because she obviously doesn't want to leave Earth. And so then it just, it almost feels like an afterthought, and then they just kind of peppered it throughout.
I mean,
none of that stuff is what I didn't like about this movie.
I think what, for stuff like that, I think finding out this movie was written by three people, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Because it's
definitely not one vision. Like, this movie kind of is being pulled in different directions.
Well, let's talk about the themes of this movie. And here's what it felt like to me. Like, this was probably make, like, a very interesting, maybe short film, but probably a more interesting, like, short story that tackles these themes and is about this person being isolated on Earth as one of the last people on Earth. And what does that mean to her? And what is she trying to accomplish? And what is she learning about the Earth? And when they tried to expand it into a feature-length script, it just gets padded out with all of these other things that are a drag. None of this was interesting. Like, my bottom line for this movie is nothing that happened in this movie got its hook in me. Nothing. Like, I didn't connect to any of the characters. I thought both actors had no charisma. Their characters had no charisma. They had no chemistry together on either a father figure daughter level or a romantic level. Just nothing about this connected with me. I thought this was just a drawn out, boring slightly poetic dissertation about the Earth will survive. Well, big no shit. Like, people are dying. The Earth doesn't die. Like, that. And they say that as one of the first lines in this movie is she's, you know, doing her little logbook, whatever, when she's taking samples.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I think you're right. I think you're right, Dad. The Earth isn't dying. It's being reborn. And it's like, of course, that's like every scientist would know that, you know, like that life is going to continue just in another form. And I just... That's not where the movie lost me. I still was trying to hang in with it. It just, all of it just seemed very forced and very...
But that's not what they're trying to prove. They're not just trying to prove that, you know, life on Earth will continue, because everyone knew that to begin with, but it's human life can still continue on Earth. But we as a society have to change, like... Not about biology. Our function on Earth has to change to be the caretakers of the land.
See, and I don't think that part of it was never like... I didn't even feel like that was a key part of the movie. Like the human function on Earth was to be caretakers of it. I never feel like that came across.
Hmm. That might be just me then.
I mean, no,
they mention things that hint at it, but
yeah, but it just, I don't know. This felt like, you know, like the Godzilla, all the kaiju stuff, this wave of science fiction in like the 50s and 60s post World War II that was all about, you know, the nuclear age, and these were like these metaphors and these sort of statements about atomic energy and the, you know, oh, this is very dangerous kind of thing.
Right.
I feel like now we are in the era of sci-fi that is lecturing us about the environment. And there are, I think, good ways to do that. And then there are just heavy-handed lectures about it. And I think this is a heavy-handed lecture about the environment. Something like WALL-E, which I think is also, it's not light-handed, but it's entertaining, and it connects with you on the same, WALL-E is essentially, let's compare them, because they're very similar in the setup, you know, humanity has left Earth.
Right.
It's the same story. Here's the last thing on Earth, and yes, it's about, are we able to recover from this? But
that's the thing, is WALL-E is more interested in talking about, like, just the basic environment. Like, that is, but this movie is trying to broach it on a deeper level. It fails at that.
Right.
Like, I'm very aware of that, but, like, it tried. Like, that is...
I don't know, I think...
It's boring and it's slow. But that originally had a point. It lost its point somewhere in production. Like, they meant to fill that space with a lot more value and substance, and it kind of didn't pan out that way. But, like, there's nuggets there.
There's nuggets there, but without really making them point... I mean, it's just like we were just talking about with crime movies and crime stories. Like, if you don't connect on a human level with these... characters, then you're probably not going to connect to the movie. And that was just a big swing and miss for me, because there's two characters in this whole movie and I connected with neither of them. So
see, I connect with Sam like a little bit.
I wanted to connect with Sam. I really did. I just, and I don't know, I don't want to come down on that actress, but it could just be her character was written poorly. It could just be the choices she made in playing that character, and that's how she read her. But just this monotone, boring, just no connection to her at all. I just didn't feel it.
Well, I saw her as like this, like she hasn't spoken to anyone in a year. Like, and then before that, she had her dad, and they both probably went crazy together. But like... I don't know. The parts that felt weird to me, like, her characterization is fine up until the romance, because then she turns into this, like, she goes from a brilliant scientist to, she's like,
to a sexual teach me predator. About love. Yeah.
What does this poem mean? Tell me about it, teacher. Like, it's just weird.
It is. Yeah, it is weird. I don't know. There's, I'm trying to keep from just sitting here and complaining about this movie.
Right.
But I really did fail to find many redeeming qualities in this. Like, it's just the very opening when they're kind of showing you her world and she's working with the bees and she's doing, I'm just sort of like, oh, this is kind of interesting. What's she doing? She's conducting experiments and this and that. And then it's just like, oh, okay, this is a lighter version of the experiment. I mean, honestly, like, this is lifted from better movies.
Like, there is hints of The Martian in this.
Yes.
What that else?
Come on, I know you see it.
I don't know what you're getting at.
Oh my god, I Am Legend is all over this. Oh,
yes,
thing.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say that.
Yep, sure you were.
No, at one point, it was going to be something I brought up, because that message of humanity evolving and the apocalypse and...
Right, the dead city. Okay, here's my redeeming quality. The dead city looked amazing.
That's true.
Art direction of the shell of the city, I loved it. And I thought that was going to be the movie at the very beginning. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, we're in this after life after people kind of thing.
They should have stayed there a little more.
I get it. It's like the ghost town, the literal ghost town almost.
Yeah.
So I get that they couldn't spend all their time there. But I did really like the look of that. I thought they really sort of nailed this dingy, it's cloudy there, it's polluted, it's gross, it's, you understood the danger of that place, and also it just looked fascinating.
Yeah. I think the cinematography in this movie is good. Like, there's that, and then I think the mountain looks great too. There's always a bunch of clouds, and that scene, I don't know how to describe it, because it's almost tranquil when the hot air balloon just kind of floats out of the clouds and gets closer. Yep. Like, complete silence. We just watch, very little motion, just standing still watching it pass by.
I would say the silence of this movie is also a big plus. It, as far as like setting a mood, there's very little music in this movie.
Right.
And I think that works to its benefit, as opposed to like over scoring.
Yeah, they could have done that easily.
And instead they decided to go minimal with it. Should we take a break and then come back and keep going?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We'll try to make it to that last ship before.
we'll see if we can get there before takeoff.
We won't.
Hey, this is Kate. I'm a forensic psychologist and crisis clinician, and I collect stories. Everything from true crime to trauma to parenthood. There's a lot more in common between depression and sociopathy, or between serial killers and podcasters, than you might think. Are you sure you really want to know? This is Ignorance Was Bliss at iwbpodcast.com and iwbpodcast on social media.
Hi, this is Mouse.
I'm Weens.
We have the Mouse and Weens podcast. I'm the mom that lives in suburbia with three kids.
I'm Blalone.
She's the hot Hollywood
cat lady.
And we have a fun podcast where we talk about life, love, and...
loneliness.
Pubic hair. Come on.
I'm sorry.
We hope you come take a listen to us. We're on all the platforms, and we will see you soon.
I have PMS.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, sir. How was your break?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I talked to my long-distance boyfriend.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's going pretty well. Elon Musk.
God. Yeah. Talk about heavy-handed. Seriously? Elon Musk?
I really didn't catch that the first time, and if that's the reason, if an Elon Musk fanboy wrote this movie, then shame on them, because...
I think that's exactly who wrote this movie. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway... Let's compare this to better movies and what they did.
Well, we've already brought up WALL-E.
WALL-E.
Yeah.
I Am Legend, The Martian, all kind of survivalist stories, mm-hmm. all stories about isolation. And I think I'm going to try... I'd say I'm going to try to not be mean, but this is going to come off as mean either
way. It's okay. I didn't make the movie, Dad. I just picked it.
Do you ever meet somebody who thinks they're smart, but they're really just pulling things that smarter people say and reciting them verbatim? Kind of like somebody who argues politics with you and they just give you the talking points that they found on their new...
You can hear the changes in voice and like that they're... taken from different...
Yeah. That's what this movie is. This movie is trying to convince you that it's smart, but everything it's doing is basically taken from another movie. I feel like...
I'm going to disagree with that, but keep going.
Okay, I feel like the general idea and structure of this movie is WALL-E. It is the last person on Earth trying to clean it up for all of humanity that's out in space. Mm-hmm. And the theme of WALL-E is we can go back, but we have to take care of it. It's the same theme. At the very end of the movie, they're like, we can do this. We can come back to it. And then there are elements of I Am Legend, like I said. The bee thing, that finding the last bee that's alive, That's the I Am Legend has this whole sequence where he's testing all these rats and testing the vampire that he's mm-hmm. kidnapped. And then he finds like, oh, this one has worked. This is salvation for everybody. You know, like there's this whole, and I just feel like it sort of parrots these other movies that do things better and makes an amalgamation of them. And then tries to pass itself off as this very smart, sophisticated, thematic movie about the future of humanity. And I don't care that somebody is borrowing an idea or a theme or even a structure, but if that's all you're doing and you're not going to bother to connect me to characters in the same way, then you're not really bringing anything fresh or any unique perspective to the table. And I think that's my big chip on my shoulder about this movie, is it wants to be seen as this very smart movie, and it just isn't.
So you're saying, like, whoever made this is almost pretentious in a way, like...
I think they want to be pretentious.
Unaware of themselves. Like, I don't know. I feel like I really want to give this movie the benefit of the doubt and say that someone on this creative team, like, had a vision and they just didn't get their way. Like, things got in the way. It got cloudy. Something here.
Do you think there's a committee attitude that took something away from this movie? Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah, I think, you know how, like, you'll have this story, and then it's like, oh, well, we'll change this part, and we'll add this little bit, and then we have to have this whole new arc going on here, and then we add more and more, and, like... Then you look, and the original path of the movie has completely changed.
It's the saying of that a camel is just a horse that's built by committee. Like,
right.
Like, you have this vision for a horse, but by the time everybody puts their 2 cents in, it becomes something completely different. And no, I can see that. I honestly can. And I'm not trying to sit here and go, oh, this movie ripped off better movies. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that even if it did take from other movies, but it put its own perspective on things or inject your own voice in there somewhere or give me a character that I can lock onto.
Right.
Then it breathes new life into something that may be old. And that's right. Where this movie fails for me.
It is echoing a lot of other things.
Which is fine. There's like 9 stories that people tell over and over.
Right.
But and it is like Anthony Mackie. I don't know him from a lot, but I know him from the MCU, and he's a charismatic guy. He's a likable, he can play these likable characters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I like him as Falcon. I think he's great in The Winter Soldier, and he's this, and I understand it's a completely different character. I just feel like these characters are written so emotionally stunted that I didn't get anything from them. And that's my big, that's what made this thing boring. You know what I mean?
Not caring about the characters.
Yeah, just these characters were so flatly and poorly written that I think there was no way to portray them in an interesting way. It's like this just turned all the charisma down on everybody.
Yeah, they tried to have these like conversations that opened up like, oh, how was it before? And
right,
like,
right.
Like, but it doesn't work. It turns into this exposition like chunk,
right.
Or I don't know, there's something about I do think it was like there's a chemistry problem between these actors because it felt chunky, like they didn't click together.
I think there's maybe a chemistry problem, and I think some of that comes from just the way these characters are written, like maybe not very fleshed out. It's sort of like they have their roles, but nobody who is writing this movie explored who they are as people past what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. I think there's one scene where it works because we see something real, and it's when he discovers like, oh, you have fresh vegetables, and she's feeding him like salad.
Right.
And he's eating fresh food for the first time, and she has honey, and he's just like going crazy for this food that he hasn't had in how long. Like that scene, actually, I got it. I get it. You know, here we're seeing him enjoy something that he hasn't had in a long time. And like that was the one little actual, for a movie about humanity, there's so little of it displayed.
Yeah.
And in this little sliver, I feel like we saw that in her emotion, her screaming outbursts when the bee died. I don't buy any of that. It just is delivered so flatly, and there's just nothing there.
One thing I do feel that you're not giving enough credit is like,
Hot air balloons. I know. They're cool.
They're pretty wicked.
They're pretty sweet.
Have you seen Up?
No. Oh, another movie this stole from.
This guy just loves Pixar. Damn it, now I forgot what I was saying.
One thing that I didn't give enough credit to.
Right. I think the character of Micah, he's like, I'm going to save you. Like, he kind of makes that his mission. I feel like there's some emotion there. Like I buy that scene where he tells her, he's like, all right, I'm taking you to the ship. Like, you don't have a say in it. This is what I'm doing. Because I'm going to save you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it might be that I just didn't like that because I didn't want her to go. Like, and I understood the entire time she wasn't going to go.
Yeah. Like, you even said that to Mom at one point.
Like, right.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah. Because she's dying. I mean, I thought partially that they weren't going to make it. But also, like, I'm like, yeah, she's not going. And she shouldn't have gone, because I did feel the little bit I got out of her character, it's like, no, no, she belongs on Earth. She's staying on Earth voluntarily. That's where she needs to stay. Like, and no, I get that. And I get that the character almost mathematically was given motivation. You know what I mean? Like, he's given this backstory about his wife dying. He goes to, did he go there to kill her dad?
I think that's the implication. Like
and I think that's interesting, but they don't follow it up at all. It's just, he just kind of drops it like, I came here to find your dad.
Imagine if this was a horror movie and that was the thing, is he shows up to kill her dad, and like, we know that, and so we get tension from this.
Or if this was just a more interestingly written movie where that became a very complicated relationship for these two people who have to survive together. And, you know, his whole motivation for going there was to murder her dad. Like, all of these things are interesting, and that backstory is interesting, but it's so buried by everything else. You know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
There's these little nuggets of things where it's like, oh, there's an ember, blow on it and get the fire going again. And it's just like, they never do. And it frustrated me until I just settled into going, okay, this movie is just bound and determined to stay boring. And I just settled in, was like, this is just going to be a boring movie. They're not wanting to do anything interesting or showcasing humanity in a good way. That's just where I landed on this movie.
I can't even argue with that, because,
I don't want to sit here and bag on this movie. I wish it had more redeeming things for me.
I want to explore the more interesting parts of this, like, world building, but it's so bare bones that it's, like, all we have to go off of is, like, a lot of people died, and everyone who survived left.
That,
like,
yeah.
Like, we really, like, we don't know the specifics. Like, my idea of it is that, like, maybe a few million people tops managed to leave Earth to, like,
right,
because they're all on this base. I mean, it's got to be
crammed. The colony, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they also seem to have enough resources to go explore other planets too. So it is just sort of like, yes, it's the mass exodus of Earth, and like, that's kind of interesting. There's interesting things in the idea of her father, who is, you know, like a leading scientist on Earth, basically convinced probably a few million people to stay behind on Earth and convinced that we can turn this around.
She mentions a pilgrimage that people used to take.
Right. Like, that there's
there used
like
to be enough people that they were coming here to volunteer to help with the lab work.
It's like a cult, almost. You know, like, this idea of her dad is essentially a cult leader.
Right.
Not meaning to be, like, manipulative in a cult leader way, but essentially a cult of people who said, no, no, we're staying here, you know, against all common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, there's something really interesting there. There's something interesting in him talking about how his wife was dying, so he basically stole her food so he could survive longer.
Because he knew either way she was going to die.
But he watched her suffer for that. Like, the idea of tough choices that people have to make at the end of the world, that's what makes end of the world stories interesting. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they have all of this stuff here surrounding it, and then they're like, we're going to talk about her losing her virginity. Like,
right?
That's what you wanted. That's the meat of what you're trying to convey. Like,
yeah, I think they're trying to, oh man, there's like some weird Adam and Eve symbolism they're trying to put in here with the repopulation, and when she goes to the museum and she opens those double doors and there's like a very bright sunlight, right, and like a garden kind of like, But they don't follow up on any of, like, that's the thing. I go, oh, we're doing Adam and Eve stuff now. She's walking into the Garden of Eden.
Oh, get ready, guys.
And then just the next shot, she's back in the drab museum, the drab part of the museum. And I'm just like, oh, I guess we're, again, like, every time they trick me into thinking we're going somewhere, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what this movie's problem is it doesn't follow up on anything.
Maybe it just... Do you think that's intentional? Because, like, it almost is, like, there's so many instances of it that it's, like, maybe that was their goal, was to, like, make this world feel, like, or this movie really feel like it's brimming with ideas, but they never gave enough
incomplete
time for any of them.
I don't know, man. I think you're onto something with saying it's a... there's too many voices in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, there probably were... You can see it sometimes in a script that's like... You ever see a movie that it's like written by and it's like 5-6 names?
Yes.
And then you get these fragmented kinds of movies where you can tell where the pieces of script from all the different versions are all pasted together.
Really, two people wrote individual scripts and some third person came and like
patched them together
yeah. with his own like, work. Yeah. Like that's what this is.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I really don't disagree with you that there's some interesting stuff here. Mm-hmm. It just didn't come through in this movie. And this isn't a movie I would ever want to sit through again. Simply because it's not good or bad, it just is so forgettable and so non-committal to its own themes. If it had committed to its themes and done it horribly, it would still be more interesting than what this movie ended up being. You know what I mean? I would almost rather this was just a shitty, terrible movie like, what's that Tom Cruise movie? Where it's, there's some post-apocalypse Tom Cruise movie.
I don't even know.
I don't remember either, but it's also very bad.
Bartender?
And, no. it came out around, the other one, it came out right around the same time, like, After Earth with Will Smith came out. These movies are all these bad, no humanity left on Earth movies. And, but, like, those were, like, committed to ideas that just didn't execute well, but they committed to the idea. And just,
yeah.
You know, and this just doesn't... This is just a flatline movie. I'm surprised there's a director listed. I feel like nobody was even
at the
helm. No
one wants their name on this.
I'm just surprised. It just feels like they just turned a camera on and these people read lines.
Well, I honestly feel like... Because I was expecting... I didn't see a credit for, like, cinematographer. I feel like this is... I feel like the director was more focused on that than, I don't know, acting or anything. I don't know. Some of these scenes feel like...
There's some pretty shots in this. I mean, when Anthony Mackie's waiting by the balloon for the wind to shift and it's like sunrise. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a great shot, man. And it's just sort of like, I wish this was in a better movie. You know, like this... And like I said, the art direction of her little hovel with the, you know, the orbs and all the little weird scientific trinkets and shit in her
yeah,
lab.
Her
I think that's all. I think it's all really cool. I really do. I love the telescope. I love the planetarium. I love the night sky with no light pollution. You know, like their portrayal of all that stuff. I think it looks great. And there's just no meat on the bone for this movie.
Here's what I want to do. Can we, like, because this movie brings up the conversation of like space travel and the future of humanity, but then it just kind of...
Well, yeah, Elon Musk is in it.
Right, that's... He stars in it.
The savior of humanity, Elon Musk.
That's right.
Who we'll all be indentured servants to on Mars.
Careful what you say now. You'll be fined for it later.
That's right.
Can we continue that conversation? Like, what are your thoughts on, you know, like, colonizing Mars and all of these things that it seems billionaires now are obsessed with?
I think that billionaires are obsessed with it because billionaires think they can make money shuttling people to Mars.
Space tourism. It's like...
Yeah, right.
And I think it's disgusting.
If billionaires wanted to live in a clean planet, they have the power to change a lot of their business practices to make this planet better, to start cleaning up. A lot of big business billionaires are some of the biggest polluters on this planet. And instead, they spend time convincing you that you need to recycle because that's what's going to make the difference. And
right.
I don't want to get on a big, like, kick about it, but I think billionaires who want to go to space don't want to do it for any humanitarian reasons. I think they want to do it because they think that's the future of the tourism industry.
Right. I agree with you there, but there's this huge push, and it trapped me for a while, where they make it seem like it's all about the science and, like, the joy of exploring space, but really it's all about kind of like losing accountability. Like, oh, corporations have ruined the planet. Like, we're not going to be responsible for that. But here, you can buy a ticket to the next one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they were really disgusted by the destruction of the planet, they could easily change it. Mm-hmm. It's like I follow a Twitter account called, Elon Musk has decided not to end world hunger today. And every day they just tweet, you know, Elon Musk has decided not to end. You know, these people could change everything bad about the world if they really wanted to.
Right. But there's nothing for them.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said about, like, is there good science coming out of it? I'm sure there is. You know, like, mm-hmm. Things that have driven our space program so far have largely been military driven. Like, it's...
My hope is, I see this developing pattern, and I think it's very alarming that corporations more and more are going into space. I think there needs to be, like, restrictions that, like, keep these private companies from space travel, because I feel like they're going to mess things up. Like, I feel like space needs to be a scientific laboratory, sort of, and that only, until it's accessible enough to where, like, theoretically our whole species, like, okay, now we can go out, now we can...
Like the Jetsons?
Exactly,
where we, like, all the Jetsons. Or Futurama, where yep. It's just sort of like... Oh, we're going to the moon.
We'll join the galaxy one day.
Well, I mean, this takes it back to a couple weeks ago when we watched The Astronaut Farmer. And the idea in that was about a private citizen going to space and how the government was trying to stop it. Because it was before any private company had started... Mm-hmm. Launching shit into space, you know what I mean?
But I feel like totally different about that, because that's like a private person, but like private corporations, like, they have alternative motives, and then suddenly it's like,
well, so does NASA, and so right. does you know, I mean, like,
well, that's what I think we should eliminate, because it's like, then we aren't researching, like, this planet just because we want to find out more about it. We're not, like, just researching anything. We're researching what can be beneficial to profits. So, like, what minerals are out there and what we can use for fuel. And right. then it doesn't turn into anything.
Well, that's the problem with, take space travel out of it. And that's the problem here, too, is we've just put a dollar value on everything. So what's good for the planet and good for people doesn't matter anymore. It's what is good for the bottom line. You know, we could be using wind turbines and solar farms, but that's not beneficial to oil billionaires. So yeah. We keep using oil. We keep using coal. And I mean, it's all, you have to, at a certain point, you have to take the dollar value out of it or it all goes to shit and nobody's willing to take the dollar value out of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, space travel is one thing. I don't think space, I think all the resources we put into space travel, and I take no joy in believing this, but I think right now they're better spent on cleaning shit up here. Like, yeah. We're not, space travel is great. I love it. It's very cool. But what are we getting out of it? You know, this idea that we're looking for our next home. We have a home. You know, it's sort yeah. of like we're sitting here trashing our house and going, well, what's the next house we're going to move to?
We're it's moving. Like,
it's like, well, the money you'll spend on your next house, you could put into the house that you're in. You know, and I just feel like this idea that we're just going to, if humanity goes on for another billion years, it's just going to be planet hopping and trashing one planet at a time as we go. You know, like, nothing good is going to come out of that. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
The idea of this movie where she, that's the one thing on this movie that I cling to and that I like. I like that she stayed on Earth. I like that she was, and the idea of morality versus the human connection, she chose what she thought was morally right to stay on Earth and mm-hmm. figure out how to make things better. I wish they had hammered that point a little harder. I wish they had made a better movie around that. But I, you know, the fact that she stayed on Earth and she took her mask off. Oh, congratulations, you're immune.
You know, the anti-mask thing in this movie has not aged well.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We don't need these. Humanity has evolved. Not yet. Not yet. You're not vaccinated.
But again, would this have been better? I'm gonna tie this to I Am Legend again. Because this is where the I Am Legend... Spoiler alert for the I Am Legend book and movie. This is where I Am Legend the movie screws up. Is that they do save humanity at the end. Where the whole point of the book is that humanity is finished. Mm-hmm. Like, it's portrayed as... It's not done because we did anything wrong. It's not done because of this, that, and the other. It's like, it's done because this is the next cycle of evolution. This is what happens. And there is an element of this with new life coming in and being created on Earth that I thought for a minute, this is where this movie was going to go, was humanity's time is over.
Right.
And this movie could have been about her acceptance of that and her saying, we tried, and this is the stark reality of it, is when we're Neanderthals now. When we die out, this is the last of us. And this thing in the water, it's their time now.
Humans have made it so that we aren't evolving at the same pace of the planet.
Right.
So if it outpaces us, that's our fault.
So it burns us out, right.
Right. That's a concept that's always really intrigued me.
Have you read the book, I Am Legend?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Like, that's why it's so much more compelling than any of the I Am Legend adaptions, because they give these Hollywood endings about, you know, like... Mm-hmm.
But the difference there is that they, like... I guess, yeah, they completely changed the message of the movie. I feel like with this one, though... if we ended on just like, oh, we died. Like, that's such a depressing message when...
And that's why the movies don't end that way.
Right. Like, but it's not just depressing. Yeah. It's not helpful. There's this concept of... I forget the technical term, but it's like climate change apathy. It's like this feeling of, oh, well, we're helpless anyway.
Sure.
So, you know, lungs ruined, might as well smoke. But... that's not the case. Like, we have room to change.
Yeah.
So, like, this movie is pointing out the Earth is changing if we stick with it and make our changes fast enough, we can change with it and we won't die out. We can avoid this whole movie ever happening.
We
can avoid being stuck in a bad movie if you help the environment. And I think that's the message of this movie.
Yes, I will agree. That is the message of this movie. I just don't think it executed super well.
I know. I was just trying to make the joke of they're threatening us with being stuck in a bad movie forever.
I mean... Well, yeah. Yeah, I felt like I was stuck in this movie for 2 hours, even though this movie's only an hour and a half.
I'll pick a longer one for our next one.
Man.
I'm kidding. I'll have to redeem myself after this episode.
It's fine. Look, this just didn't connect with me. I'm not bagging on you for...
You know, it is a weird pick, though, because it didn't... super connect. I have a better connection with this, but like, yeah, I just wanted to talk about how it sucked. Sometimes it's worth talking about how a movie is bad.
You wanted to talk about the themes of this movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, there are probably better movies for talking about this theme that get it across better. You know what I mean? Like, we get in the weeds talking about this because it's just so messy getting there. But I just think, I don't know. I feel like there are probably better, like we said, WALL-E.
We
could have watched WALL-E and had a lot more fun.
We could have watched and read I Am Legend.
We could have, yeah.
These are all better episodes that you are not listening
You're not getting that audience. Episode. Yeah, look, I don't know, man. Like this... This movie is what it is. I'm sure there's an audience for it. It's just not me.
Right. I also want to say this movie implies that Alpha Centauri would be a good place for humans. It would not be. Please don't move there. It is dangerous.
If you want to get into, like, what is scientifically accurate... No, I tell you that changing the location of a transport ship is the most impractical thing I've ever heard of.
Oh, like the launching?
Yeah, the weather change. We're changing the launch site. What? The launch site? Not the time?
Yeah, no, moved
We're moving everything. The ship. Oh, and everybody who's on foot and making their pilgrimage here, guess what? We're farther away now.
We're also taking 10 hours off the timer because we hate you.
It is like they didn't want to take anyone. They're like,
it's Delta Airlines. They're just giving up.
As soon as I said, they're changing the launch site. I'm like, the launch site? What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. There's a bunch of stuff like that in this movie where it's just sort of like...
We needed this for the plot, so it happened.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, we're low on helium. We have to go to the city. So they deflate the helium that's in the balloon to go get more helium instead of getting the helium and bringing it back. Not all of the things in this movie that just were so impractical but needed to happen to push the plot forward instead of finding a plot solution on the page. That actually made sense. Just, it adds to the patchwork quilt is this movie.
Which, in an apocalypse movie, like, that's the whole point, is there are so many obstacles. Like, that is the heart of an apocalypse movie. Right. And then to just be like, we'll do this ridiculous thing to get around it.
But yeah. Okay? Doing a ridiculous thing is one thing, it just... Things that don't even make sense in the world that you've built. I don't know, man. This movie's a mess. that's where I'm landing on it.
Okay.
And you know...
I think with streaming services, science fiction, I'm sorry, not always the best.
It's tough.
Which is a shame. Like, it is hard to find good quality sci-fi.
There is a... I'm just going to make this last point about characters who connect. There is a I think it's a Netflix movie with Ellen Page and Shannon Woodward. Have you seen Into the Woods, I think it's called?
The musical?
No. Not the Snow White thing.
Okay, I don't know.
It's essentially like these two sisters are alone in the woods, and it's some sort of apocalypse happens, or post-apocalyptic world, and they're living in the woods, and it's like a survivalist movie.
Yeah.
But that movie is also slow, and it's a slow burn sort of Netflix movie like this, tonally very similar, but I connect to those characters. Like, one of them has to decide, we think there's a survivor's colony, you know, across the country. One of them has to, you know, one of them wants to go, one of them doesn't. You understand that dilemma. You understand the hard choice these characters are making. Mm-hmm. It's not a great movie, but it does manage to connect you to the characters. And that's what sells a movie.
It puts the effort in to where you care about the premise.
It's written in a way to where I gave a crap how things shook out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes a movie just doesn't hit where it's aiming for.
I think we're 0-2 on Netflix movies so far.
What's the other one?
The Old Guard. For me. I know you like The Old Guard. I got a lot of messages about...
Good.
I was too hard on The Old Guard.
Keep messaging him on that. Hammer it home.
You know what? Fuck all of you. The Old Guard sucks.
There will be a sequel, and we will be watching it. Or at least I will be, and I'll... Maybe I'll just put a mini one, like, Dad didn't want to sit down for this one, so I'll just tell you my thoughts.
This is the hill I'm going to die on.
You know what? You don't even have to watch the second Old Guard. You can just sit in on the episode and criticize
it. How about the next one? You watch the movie and I'll read the graphic novels that it's based on. And we'll compare.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah. You heard it here. It'll never happen. Anyway. What else you got on this one? Are we about wrapped up?
I'm
more points.
I'm done. I really like the way this movie depicts biology. It hits my niche interests of science and evolution.
Okay, pretend this movie is being served to a general audience of non-scientists. That's where this movie fails.
Right. That's the thing. Well,
this is not an educational film.
I know.
and that's, yeah, I mean, like, scientifically accurate, yes. World building, yes. Themes, yes. That doesn't make a story, you know?
Like, I know, yeah.
It's got to all connect, and that's where they didn't do the work.
It's just the more minor details that I like.
Yeah.
I think they put their efforts in the wrong place.
But do you think that makes it more or less tragic that that the movie as a whole doesn't come together? Because for me, it's almost like, it's all there except the most important part, you know?
I think it explains. Like every new detail where, like, oh, they really put a lot of effort into this. It's like, that's where all the story...
Their focus.
That's where all the time went.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
So that's all I have. That's been IO.
That has been IO.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch this again.
I owe you an apology.
You don't. We got to talk out of it. It's fine.
All right.
Hey, we bring some turds to the table sometime. It happens. It's cool. Let's move on to shoutouts. What do you got?
All right. My shout out for this week is a book. It's called Hot Tips for Teachers, A Collection of Classroom Management Ideas. And it's just something I like picked up out of the blue last week, and I've been flipping through it, and it has a lot of useful tips. I work at an elementary school. I'm a paraprofessional, which means I'm an assistant to teachers. That's paraplegic.
Oh, man, my vocab is way off today.
It's one of those days. But yeah, you encounter a lot of different teaching styles, this is one of those books that, like, I really agree with the attitude that this is written by two teachers, Anne Salisbury Harrison and Francis Burton Spuler, I believe.
Spuler.
And yeah, I really agree with their methods, and they have a lot of it's alphabetically organized. So you can look up like classroom library or child abuse or open house.
How to abuse children is not the kind of tips I'm looking
right.
for.
Right. But it'll have advice on all of that. Really? And like so much more.
So it's sort of like not any one thing, like how to engage your kids or how to
it's
like an across the board.
Right. Kind it's very broad. Here's some crafts you can do. Here's how you occupy time. Here's it's a lot of useful tips. I don't think it's like the sole resource that you should be using to run a classroom. But I think it's one of those things it adds on techniques that you can use for different things.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a good read. So that's if we have any teachers in the audience or non-teachers, whatever you want, should read that book.
You know, I taught very briefly just one art class for a few years, and honestly, a overview resource like that could have helped me get started, I think, in a lot of ways, because there was I just in that one hour class per week that I did over the course of 4 or 5 years, I learned so much, and I learned it on the fly, and also I tapped some of my teacher friends for advice here and there.
Yeah, working with kids is not easy.
And a book like that, I'm sure, would be super, super handy. So that's really cool.
What are you promoting this week?
I am promoting a YouTube channel of Patrick H. Willems. He is a filmmaker, and he runs this YouTube channel, and he makes essays about, like, video essays about movies, about movements in movies, about certain directors, about all kinds. He just released one on the Disney movie from the late 80s, early 90s, Dick Tracy, about the movie based on the comic strip Dick Tracy. And it's actually just it's such a crazy movie. And in the era, he's comparing it a bit to modern superhero movies and comic book adaptations, and also like Warren Beatty's career.
So I've never even heard of that movie.
It's cool. Probably on Disney Plus, honestly, and it's a crazy freaking movie. But yeah, he had one recently about baseball movies. He has them about soundtracks.
So like just general like aspects of filmmaking.
Or he's also he did one was really good. Do Kevin Smith's movies hold up from 3 months ago?
Ooh.
Which I was a big Kevin Smith fan in my early 20s, and I have contended that it does not age with you. They are meant for a certain age group. I know a lot of people my age who still love Kevin Smith movies. Some of that stuff I would contest does not come forward very well.
That happens with a lot of things.
Yeah, it does, and that's perfectly fine. I think you know you're a great age to watch Clerks and think it's a brilliant movie that's going to connect with you.
Would I connect? Like that's the thing is
I think
some
you would.
Some movies is it like is this for young adults or is this for young adults who were young in the 90s, like you know,
no, it's about early 20 somethings with trying to figure out their life. Like, it is a movie for a certain age group. And some of the comedy, I think, comes forward fine. And some of Kevin Smith's other stuff, like Red State, when he really tried to break away from that kind of comedy and do some darker stuff, I think it was pretty cool.
Right.
But
I'm not a big fan of his whole Christmas apology videos for hitting on people at parties.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was trying to compare him to Kevin Spacey.
And his Jesus whole Christ.
Because I don't know who Kevin Smith is, but that's who I thought.
Yeah.
well, not the same person.
That's very different. No, it's nothing that dark. But Patrick H. Willems, I think, he's really smart about film. And if you're interested in that, he also has this ongoing storyline where he's best friends with a coconut with googly eyes on it. It's a running joke that, for me, ran its course like a year ago. But
I think I've seen his channel before.
I'm sure I've sent you something.
Doesn't he have a video on, like, sound in the MCU? Going over, like, music and... That might be someone else.
Possibly.
But I'm pretty sure it's him.
It could be. I've watched his stuff for a long time. And, yeah, it probably... is back there somewhere. He has a great one about Michael Bay, honestly. And you know, it just really kind of shows if you approach anybody, even somebody that everybody laughs at like Michael Bay, you can pick that apart and there's some interesting things in there.
Right.
I think Patrick H. Willems does some good work. And
if you want someone to film an American flag, you call in Michael Bay.
That's what he talks about, is like he does have a style. It's
right.
What it is, but... it's pretty interesting stuff. If you're into movies, if you listen to us ramble on this long, and you are able to put on a 45 minute YouTube video, I really recommend his channel. I think he's a good one to follow.
Yeah, he is.
On that note, I want to close out the shout outs and thank you for listening to this episode of The Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude. If you enjoy our show, please leave a review on your podcatcher of choice. It really helps our visibility and it helps us grow the show.
That's right. And you know, another way to help us grow, it's to tell friends about us.
That's right. Friends.
Yep. So whether they're here on Earth or all the way in the orbit of Jupiter, please tell them about us and maybe tell them that we review all good movies even when we don't. what is our pick next week? Because you are in charge. So
I am in charge.
You can get retaliation. I just want to let you know.
You know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm picking some...
I've never seen Independence Day.
...masterpiece of high cinema. You're in the ballpark. But Kong versus Godzilla just came out. I have not watched it yet. There are plenty of shows going to be reviewing that. We're going to go a step backwards. And we're checking out Kong... Skull Island.
Okay. Still same cinematic universe.
Same cinematic universe as the 2014 Godzilla
started up
and then Kong Island
2018, and, I think.
Yeah, this is dropping right in the middle of this whole kaiju mess.
I've never actually seen this one. I've just seen the black and white and the one with Jack Black.
Both great movies, in my opinion.
I think so.
But, this is not high cinema. This is a giant gorilla kicking the shit out of other giant things and
you know what?
Army guys. And we're going to have a good time with it.
One thing we can say is it won't be boring. And I think we need a change of pace.
I like this movie, and it has a great cast in it. And... It's big dumb fun, and that's what I want to bring to us. And I'm probably gonna go from that right into Kong versus Godzilla. So maybe a double feature of giant monsters next week.
Awesome. That's on HBO now.
That is on HBO. I think it's showing for a month and then it goes away.
I didn't know it was going away.
Yeah, it's that limited thing release with is it Warner Brothers? All their theatrical movies are going to HBO, but it's like it is limited. Like for I think it's kind of like what this would run in a theater.
We're
putting it out for a month, then they take it away. It'll be back on there.
I like that better than what Disney's doing. Like, that creates rarity without upping the price.
Yeah.
Whereas Disney is just like, we're going to invent a new paywall for a service you pay for.
Yes, I know.
I haven't seen their new movie, and I want to see it.
On Disney Plus, because I think that's the biggest scam going. But
I didn't care when it was Mulan, because
I didn't care about watching Mulan.
Right, but that Raya in the Last
Dragon. Oh, yeah, I've actually heard really good things about that. I'm not
paying $27 for it.
I'll wait for it to come to Redbox or something, but anyway, enough about me being a cheapskate. We're watching Kong Skull Island and we're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, we are.
Social media. Sorry.
That's right.
I've only done this for 35 episodes now, whatever.
The internet exists and we are on it.
We are.
You can find me at austin.n.rude on TikTok. And for Twitter, I'm Austin N. Rude and Old Who Review.
I am at philrude.com. That's my website. You can get all our episodes and all my social media links there. But if you want to cut straight to Twitter, it's at philrude. Instagram is at philrude75.
That's right. And don't forget to check out Hit Me One More Time this week.
That's right.
For me. And also, Dad has a few episodes on there, right?
They're
not as recent, but they're still in the feed.
I was a guest further back, and I've sat in for Nick a couple of times as a guest host. I'm scattered throughout there. But David and Nick have a great show over there.
Fantastic job.
And if you haven't checked them out, please do. You'll find something from your childhood on there.
Right.
That's getting roasted and praised probably at the same time.
I listened to an episode about Buffy the other day.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
The complicated worldview of Joss Whedon.
Right after the scandals broke, too. You know, that was really... And
to be real about it, I think is really good. They handled that really well.
They did.
So, yes, Hit Me One More Time. Check it out. Austin, you want to read the credits?
Yep. We did everything ourselves.
There you have it. We'll see you next time on The Picture Show.
See ya.